Morning again. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, you may have noticed today that one member of our band is absent, my daughter Laura. She's on a college audition. Rachel took her, and she's in Nashville, of all places, today. So I'm going to talk about Laura since she's not here. As you may know, Laura, well, maybe you probably don't know, Laura's a starting guard on her high school basketball team. And this is my last year as a parent to sit in the stands and cheer for her. After years of soccer and volleyball and cross-country and basketball, this is the last year. So as a parent sitting in the stands, do you know what that's like? Come on, ref! Clearly, they fouled my daughter as she was taking a shot. Or, come on, can't you pass the ball to my daughter? She's wide open for a shot, teammate. Sometimes, it's hard as a parent to not... You're on the floor with them, right? It seems like. The manager for the St. Louis Cardinals wrote a book one time based on his experience as a little league coach and dealing with parents, called the Matheny Manifesto. And it talks about how parents should act as when they're at games, okay? And how kids should act when they're playing in games. And it's about respect. You know, respect your teammates, respect your opponents, respect the umpires or in baseball or referees, or and really respect the sport that you're playing by playing with integrity. It's about respect. Whether it's on the soccer field or in life, it's about respect. Well, Paul's kind of talking about the same thing in our epistle reading here today. Now, he starts out, now concerning food offered to idols. Okay, and you're thinking, okay, what does this have to do with me? Food offered to idols. He says, what do you do? The Corinthians, you know, this whole reading during this season of Epiphany, it's like one reading after another from Corinthians, right? Boom, 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 boom. Well, Paul, and they've asked Paul for advice because there's problems in their congregation. There's problems with people write to him and say, you know, hey, we've got knowledge, we know about this. We've got people who say you can't eat food offered to idols. And other people are saying, yeah, yeah, you can, okay? So Paul's writing to them and saying, okay, listen, here's how you act as a congregation. So what's the situation in Corinth? What about this food offered to idols? It's not something that we run into every day. In those days, there were temples and shrines all over Corinth, and they would bring in these animals for sacrifice, and the meat from the sacrifice would be used in three ways. Okay, first, some of it would be burned on the altar, just burned up, right, to the false god. Secondly, there would be a celebration, like you have a birthday party or you have an anniversary. Okay, where would that be? The houses were small. You'd have it at the temple. And guess what? They would sacrifice some animal and then you'd eat part of it. Okay, so that's the second use of some of the meat. What was the third use of some of the meat? They would take whatever was left and they would take it to the marketplace and sell it. So chances are, if you wanted something, if you wanted to have meat in those days at home, it was probably good chance it was sacrificed to an idol before it got to the market. How would you know? So they have this question for Paul. And what does Paul say? He says, yes, yes, you can eat it, okay? if you know that it's been sacrificed to an idol or not, as long as you know that you're not worshiping the idol as part of that, it's okay to eat it. Yes, I can, but no, I won't. Just like me at a basketball game. Yes, I can yell at the ref. That's the right of every fan, right? And it's the right of every parent to say that your kid's been fouled. But is that the way to treat the referee or even my daughter, to teach her respect and to teach her sportsmanship? So yes, I can, but no, I won't. That's what Paul says with respect to these Corinthians. If you're there, if you happen to buy food in the marketplace and you bring it home and you can eat it, okay, that's fine. But if you have a friend who has been worshiping idols and has just now come to the church, don't eat it in front of them. Yes, you can eat it, but now don't for the sake of your brother or sister in Christ who's there. And he says, for the sake of your brother or sister in Christ who would see you eating and having fun at a temple birthday party, don't do that either. Why? Because maybe you have knowledge about this, maybe you understand this, and maybe you don't think that this threatens your Christianity. It might threaten your brother or sister in Christ. They might have a weak conscience. They might be thinking, all that they could think about is, here is my brother or sister in Christ who I see at church. Here's what they're doing. Does it lead to confusion? Does it lead to somebody being caused to sin? In this case, he says, does it lead them to start thinking about worshiping that idol again? So yes, you can, but no, you won't. So how does this apply to us today? Let's talk about drinking. Is it okay to drink? Well, in the sacrament, what are we taking? Wine, right? Is it okay to drink some wine? Yes. Is it okay to go to Hebrews and have a beer with the guys? Yes. But sometimes you're in the presence of people who have trouble drinking. One out of every six Americans has trouble with alcohol. Did you realize that? My brother-in-law, Jake, my sister's wife, my wife's brother. Gosh. See, I'm just checking to see if you're paying attention. My wife's brother just died a couple months ago because he was addicted to drinking and smoking. So is it wise to have a drink in front of him if you know that? Now, can I? Yes, I can, but no, I won't. For Jake, it's too late. For a recovering alcoholic, you know how hard it is? You go into the grocery store and there's a big section on beer and wine and other stuff. You go into a gas station or a convenience station. What's the first thing you see in the refrigerator? It's all around. You turn on the TV. You want to watch a football game or something. What's advertised? Go to a tailgate party. What's the main thing that's there? You know how hard it is when somebody is struggling with temptation to have that right in front of you? So as a brother or sister in Christ, if you know that, that's when you refrain. Now, is it just about drinking? What other temptations do we have in our lives? Some people are dieting. Well, let's take an easy one. If you're dieting, if you know that so-and-so is dieting, do you order the biggest dessert possible at dinner with them? How about this? If you know somebody is struggling with their finances, they can't seem to stop charging things. You take them on a shopping trip, or you find something else to do with them. Yes, I can, but no, I won't. Many people struggle with sexual issues. So when you know you're going to be seeing them, do you wear something that's particularly revealing? Or do you take them to a place where you know they're going to be tempted, even though you can and you might think you're immune to that temptation? What about them? Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, lead me not into temptation, and much less, let me not be the person who leads someone else to stumble. Yes, I can, but no, I won't. Now, do you guys fail at this? Do we fail at this all the time? Are you like me? How many have been at a game like that as a parent where it's like, you lose your cool, okay? Same thing happens to us all the time. And the same thing happens, all these examples that we talk about, I bet we've all done all these things where we just don't realize that we might be making it hard for someone. So what does Paul say about that? He says, so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. He's reminding us that Christ died for that person, everyone, and wants that person to be redeemed. He wants us, though, even though we can do something, not to do it for the sake of our brother in Christ, for whom Christ died. And Christ died for you. Christ died so that when you fall to temptation, and when you stumble or even unwittingly lead someone else to stumble, and you're guilty of that, the Lord Jesus Christ died for that as well. The Lord Jesus Christ, who sitting on the throne in heaven, could have said, yes, Father, I could go and become a human being and suffer and die on the cross, but I won't. That's not what he said. He said, I will go. I will go for each of these sinners, each of these people who struggle with temptation and fall. I'm going for them. That's what Jesus did for you. So you are forgiven. So your brother and sister in Christ is forgiven. But you are forgiven for a purpose. You are forgiven for a purpose of not falling into temptation as much as you can. You're forgiven for the purpose of leading people to Christ, not into temptation. You're forgiven for a purpose of living together as a community of Christians who seek to build each other up. As Nancy read that very well earlier. Knowledge puffs up. You can have all the knowledge in the world. You can know that whatever it is isn't going to hurt you, maybe not. In this gray area of things that you can do, you're permitted to do. Maybe it's not going to hurt you. You may have that knowledge. And that might puff you up. There's another sermon. But love builds up. Love for the person around you. Love for the vulnerable. Whether it's vulnerable to temptation or whatever else. Love for your brother and sister in Christ. And guess what? I will tell you this right here. All of us are vulnerable. One way or another. You know that in your heart. You know how vulnerable you are. You know how you are tempted. And so are all of us. That's why we need each other. That's why God gathers us together around Jesus. In His holy word. And in His body and blood shed for you and me on the cross. That's why we can say, yes, I can. But no, I won't sometimes. For the sake of my brother and sister in Christ. In love for Christ, amen. We rise as we confess together our Christian faith in the words of the Apostle.